Yes, so thank God for His love, for keeping us throughout the week, for providing for every need, and for His grace. Amen. I'll read a scripture from the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God have been revealed, bringing salvation to all people. God came into this world, or into the earth, in the human form of Jesus. What a gift. In fact, He was a perfect gift of grace. Two things make this gift so amazing. It's truly free, and it's for all people.
Amen.
Jesus didn't come to save a certain group of people. He came to save all people. Never assume that anyone is outside God's mercy or beyond reach of His gift of salvation. He came for all people for all time. We do not deserve to be saved. But God offers us salvation anyway.
Amen.
And there are no strings attached. Simply believe and accept this gift. Love came down at Christmas. Love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas. Star and angels gave the sign. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, oh Lord, You deserve all the praises. You deserve all the glory. You deserve to be exalted, for You are named above all names. You are God with us. You are salvation, Lord Jesus. You are love. You are many things to us, Lord. And sometimes we forget to be thankful for what You have done. But let us thank You every day for the breath of life, every day for health and strength, every day for needs provided, every day for traveling mercies, every day for our children, every day for our grandchildren, our parents, our grandparents, our church family, Lord. Let us thank You and thank You, a never-ending thank You unto Your name, Lord Jesus. Thank You for salvation, for the gift of eternal life, because You loved us so. You sent Your Son. Thank You, Lord. Amen. I had received a booklet in the mail, and I read it, and I was very blessed by it. So I'm going to give you, you know, some pointers of what I read, but I also included my, you know, my own scriptures. So the title is What a Gift of Grace. If you'll turn with me to the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 1 of Luke, and we are going into verses 46 to 55. Luke 1. Kavik, will you read it for me, please? Chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. And hold it for now. But I also want to read to you from 1 Chronicles 16, 8 to 13. It tells us, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim His greatness. Let the whole world know what He has done. Sing to Him. Yes, sing His praises. Tell everyone about His wonderful deeds. Exalt or rejoice greatly in His holy name. Rejoice, you who worship the Lord. Search for the Lord and for His strength. Continually seek Him. Remember the wonders that He has performed, His miracles, and the rulings He had given. You children of His servant Israel, you descendants of Jacob, ye chosen ones. Also in But 1 Samuel 2, 1 to 11, and paraphrasing, it tells us this is Hannah's prayer of praise. She says, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. Oh, how the Lord has blessed me. No one is holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." Now we go to Luke 1, 46 to 55.
And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. He hath showed his strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath opened his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. And he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever."
These three are verses or songs of praises unto the Lord. There are four elements of true thanksgiving that are found here. First, remembering what God has done. Secondly, telling others about it. Third, showing God's glory to others. Fourth, offering gifts of self, time, and resources. If you are truly thankful, your life will show it. This reading in Luke 1, 46 to 55 is Mary's song of praise. It is called the Magnificent. Mary glorified God in song for what he was going to do for the world through her. In her song, God is pictured as a champion of the poor, of the oppressed, and the despised. When Mary said, "And now generation after generation will call me blessed," was she being proud? No, she was recognizing and accepting the gift God had given her. If Mary had denied her incredible position, she would have been throwing God's blessings back at him. God kept his promise to Abraham to be merciful to God's people forever. And Jesus' birth fulfilled the promise, and Mary understood this. She was not surprised when her special son eventually announced that he was the Messiah. She had known Jesus' mission from before his birth. If you look on the screen, you can sing along with me.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy
will one day
walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy
will save
our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy
has come
to make you new? That child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy
inside sight to a blind man.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm
with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels walk?
When you kiss your little baby,
you kiss the face of God.
Mary, did you know?
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of Lord of all creation.
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy
will one day rule the nation?
Did you know
that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb?
The sleeping child you're holding is the great
A sword will pierce your very soul, Simeon said to Mary. A big part of her painful privilege of motherhood will be to see her son rejected and crucified by people he came to save. Mary saw him arrive as her baby son. And she watched him die as her savior. The true meaning of Christmas is that Jesus stepped down from the glory of heaven to become a man, endure that living in a broken world could throw at him, and then pay the price for all the wrongs the human race had ever done. The true meaning of Christmas is that Jesus came to save people. He's to come and save them from their sins. All who put their trust in him can be in a right relationship with him. We can enjoy a loving, meaningful, and vibrant friendship with him, ending in eternal life with him in heaven.
Yes.
Now, that's a gift to celebrate. Turn with me to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 22 to 26. Kavis, will you do my reading for me, please? Chapter 3, verses 22 to 26.
Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus.
Amen. What a gift of grace God gave us, his Son. The true meaning of Christmas is the indescribable gift of a Savior who came to earth as a baby. Why did he do it? Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth. We needed God to send Jesus. Because of our sins, we were separated from a holy God. A perfect Savior and a mediator was needed to bring us back together, and only God could restore this relationship. God wanted to send his Son. He loved us so much that he gave his Son so that our relationship would be restored. Jesus was the only one who could meet his demand for a perfect sacrifice. Only he was sinless. He willingly gave himself on the cross. God accepted this sacrifice and raised him from the dead. Because of our need and his love, God the Father gave us the gift of Jesus Christ, the Son. Receive his gift today. It's free. Turn with me to 1 John 4:7-9.
Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him.
Amen. What a gift of grace. God came for me. The true meaning of Christmas is that the story of Jesus is a story of love. Yes, it involves pain and disappointment, but Jesus embodies the promise of a God who will go any length to get his family back. Everyone believes that love is important, but love is usually thought of as a feeling. In reality, love is a choice or an action. As in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, verses 4-7, it shows. God is the source of our love. He loved us enough to sacrifice his Son for us. Jesus is our example of what it means to love. Everything he did in life and death was supremely loving. And the Holy Spirit gives us the power to love. He lives in our heart and makes us more like Jesus. So God's love always involves a choice and an action. And our love should be like his. Bless you, dear. In the Christian church, love is not only expressed by showing respect, it is also expressed through self-sacrifice and servanthood. In fact, it can be defined as selfless giving, reaching beyond friends and enemies and persecutors. Love should be the unifying source and the identifying mark of the Christian community. Love is the key to walking in the light, because we cannot grow spiritually while we dislike others. Real love is like God, who is holy, just, and perfect. I got my... If we truly know God, we will love as He does. This is how the Christmas story had its beginning. It started with God's love when God became a man. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Isaiah chapter 7, 13 and 14.
And he said, "Hear ye now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel."
What a gift of grace. I am no longer alone. The true meaning of Christmas is Emmanuel, meaning God with us. I am no longer alone. In 735 BC, before Christ, the prophet Isaiah prophesied to the spiritually struggling nation of Israel. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Jesus was named some 730 years before he was born. It has been said that all the truths of Christmas can be stated in just these words: God with us. We tend to focus our attention at Christmas time on the human birth of Jesus, but the greater focus should be on his deity, who he really is, God with us. Emmanuel means that we're not isolated from a God who sits on some distant throne. Emmanuel means that we're not, that he came to be with us. God with us. God with us now.
Amen.
In the Old Testament ages, God manifested himself as Jehovah. In the Gospels, God manifested himself as himself. God with us in the person of Jesus, the Son. After the ascension, he manifested himself in the indwelling empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God is with us.
Amen.
God is with us now. God is with us then. God is with us through the miracle of faith. God is with us, saving us from sin. God is with us, comforting us. God is with us, defending us. God is with us, enlightening us. God is with us, protecting us from Satan's arrows. God is with us, guiding us. God is with us, keeping us from yielding to Satan's temptations and also from sinning. God is with us, sanctifying us. God is with us, infilling us with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. God is with us, healing us. God is with us, empowering us for service, for God and for mankind. God is with us, brothers and sisters. The infinite, unlimited God took on the limitations of humankind, of humanity, so he could live and die so that we have salvation through him if we believe. When Joseph and Mary called their son by name, it was a reminder that God was in the house, literally living under the same roof. So are you alone? Are you feeling afraid? Have you felt that God is afar off, somberly watching you from a distance? Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present today in the life of every believer. Perhaps not even Isaiah understood how far-reaching the meaning of Emmanuel would be. The message of Christmas is that you don't need to be alone anymore, for Jesus has come. Yes. Emmanuel, God with yes. us. We study in the book of Isaiah, turn to chapter 7. Verses 2 and 3.
And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shirdeshabab, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field.
Well, Brother Kaviks, that hard word you said was in another chapter, I think, but we're in chapter 9 of Isaiah. Verses 2 and 3. Did I say the wrong chapter?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It's like a week you have to stumble over those. That would have been worse. But in chapter 9, verses 2 and 3.
The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shine. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. The joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil.
What a gift of grace. God points us to the light. The true meaning of Christmas is a light that Christ brings. We illuminate even our darkest day. Long ago, a rural hillside shepherd's staying in the fields, received a startling appearance. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. The Star of Bethlehem pointed gift-bearing wise men to the light of the world. This child who would become their deliverer is the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Matthew quotes these verses in describing Jesus's ministry in Matthew 4:15-16. The territories of Zebulun and Naphtali represents the northern kingdom as a whole. Now, these were also the territories where Jesus grew up and often ministered. This is why they would see a great light. John 1:9 also refers to Jesus as the light. John 8:12 tells us that Jesus himself said, I am the light of the world. In a time of great darkness, God promised to send a light who would shine on everyone living in the shadow of death. Jesus is the creator of life, and his life brings light to humankind. In his light, we see ourselves as we really are, sinners in need of a savior. When we follow Jesus, the true light, we can avoid walking blindly and falling into sin. He lights the path ahead of us so we can see how to live. He removes the darkness of sin from our lives. The wealthy wise men and the homeless shepherds were equally welcome, as the prophet had foretold. For those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And that light is Jesus Christ. For he did say, I am the light of the world. So we thank God for the gift of light. This gift of light is for everyone who believes. Isaiah also in the 9th verse, in 6, we sang the song. For unto us a child is born. In this verse, it tells us that Jesus Christ is both the wonderful counselor. He is exceptional, distinguished, and without peer. The one who gives the right advice. Mighty God, he is called. God is God himself. Everlasting Father, he is timeless. He is God, our Father, Prince of Peace. His government is one of justice and peace. The darkness of evil has never and will ever overcome God's light.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In John 3:16 to 21. John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Amen. So what a gift of grace, a personal relationship. The true meaning of Christmas is a personal relationship with Christ with the Christ of Christmas. When I was a child, I looked forward to Christmas, not because of the birth of Christ, but because there were presents under the tree. And every night, when I thought everybody was asleep, I would creep down the stairs, go under the tree, and look at all the gifts and count how many had my name on it. And when Tammy and Delson was growing up, that's what they did. So it came to a time I fooled them. I didn't put names on the gifts. I had gifts under the tree and no names on it. So they didn't know how many gifts they had or who had what. But thank God, nonetheless, as I grew older and I realized that Christmas was not all about gifts. Christmas was about Jesus Christ, who he himself is the perfect gift. Christmas is the celebration of God giving his only Son to the world. This perfect gift was given 2,000 years ago by God, our Creator, because he loved us. At Bethlehem, God demonstrated that to love is to give. God's love is not static or self-centered. It reaches out and draws others in. Here, God sets the pattern of true love, the basis for all love relationships. When you love someone dearly, you are willing to give freely to that point, even to a point of self-sacrifice. God paid dearly with the life of his son, the highest price he could pay. Jesus accepted our punishment, paid the price for our sins, and then offered us the new life that he bought for us. When we share the good news with others, our love must be like Jesus's, willingly giving up of our comfort and security so that others might join us in receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Eternal life is God's life embodied in Christ, given to all believers now as a guarantee that they will live forever. So to believe is more than intellectual agreement that Jesus is God. It means to put our trust. To believe is to put our trust and confidence in him, that he alone can save us. It is to put Jesus in charge of our present plans and eternal destiny. Believing is both trusting his word as reliable and relying on him for the power to change. Only God can save us from the one thing that we really need to fear is eternal condemnation. The heartbeat of John's gospel is a dynamic truth that Jesus is God's Son, the Messiah, the Savior, who existed from the beginning and will continue to live forever. So during this festive time, or this time, this season of Christmas, and always, may we continue to fix our eyes on Jesus, the Christ of Christmas. Turn with me. Oh no, that's okay. Says here, good news for everyone. Now, as you're reading Luke presents a picture of Romans, of angels, of shepherds, parents, and a baby. Not any baby, but a special infant called Jesus Christ. From the Romans, we learn that the government of the ancient world continued to make its demands even when the birth of Jesus Christ was about to occur. From the angels, we are given the message of eternal hope in the announcement that the Savior has been born. From the shepherds, we observe the perfect response to the message of deliverance. They went immediately to see for themselves what had happened. And when they saw, they began immediately to tell others about it. From the parents, we discover the special and tender care which any infant should have and which this infant deserved. From the baby, we learn that a whole new life of possibilities and opportunities await mankind. What is the good news that will bring great joy to all people? The birth of the Savior truly is good news of great joy to all people. But was the birth of Jesus good news to Herod, who was jealous of him and wanted to kill him? Was it good news to the Pharisees and the scribes who opposed and rejected Jesus? It was good news. It was. Why? Because although they never acknowledged it, they desperately needed a Savior. The good news of great joy is for the atheists as well as the religious. It was as much a good news for Pilate as it was for Mary and Martha. Jesus was the Savior of the soldiers who crucified him as well as his disciples who worshiped him. There were these amazing words from the angels: I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. These words mean that the spiritual darkness which has covered the earth was about to be rolled away. The way to peace and pardon with God was about to be thrown open to all mankind. Liberty was about to be proclaimed to those that were captives, and recovering of the sight of the blind. The mighty truth was to be proclaimed that God could be just and yet, for Christ's sake, justify the ungodly. Salvation was no longer to be seen through types and figures, but openly and face to face. The knowledge of God was no longer to be confined to the Jews, but to be offered to the whole Gentile nation. The first stone of God's kingdom was about to be set up. If this is not good tidings, there never were things that deserved a name. Suddenly, the joy of Christmas makes sense. We have a different joy. We have a greater joy. We have a forever joy. We have a real joy that lives within the heart of each believer.
Yes.
On September 2nd, 1945, in Tokyo Bay, Japan, the second and final phase of the world's most terrible war officially came to an end. That day, while millions of people eagerly listened to their radios, General Douglas MacArthur, aboard the USS Missouri, received the notice of surrender from the Imperial Government of Japan. But 4 months later, something took place on the deck of this battleship that few people knew about. It was Christmas time, and the Missouri was home, anchored quietly in the Naval Shipyard in Brooklyn. A choral group of Blue Jackets gave a concert of Christmas carols. They didn't begin with a shallow and empty or circular jingle like Santa Claus is coming to town, no. They opened with, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by, yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. That song stands for something stronger than what the battleship Missouri stands for. The fighting ship represents man's fears, while Brooks' immoral carol represents man's hope. There are hopes, moreover, that would have been had died a long time since, had it not been for what happened at Bethlehem, the birth of the infant Jesus, and later at Calvary, the death of your Savior, Jesus Christ. The importance of his supernatural birth cannot be overstated. Firstly, the virgin birth reinforces our understanding of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The miracle of his birth fits perfectly well with what we know of his atoning work, of his bodily resurrection, and of his return in glory. His miracles, his teachings, his claims are in accord with what we would expect of one who had such an extraordinary entrance into the world. Secondly, the supernatural birth of the Savior affirms the power of the cross to save from sin and death, and only God can do that.
Yes.
The wonderfulness of Jesus' birth bears witness to the union of deity and humanity in the person of Jesus. No other kind of person could have accomplished the miracle saving grace through the cross. The miracle of his birth makes believable the miracle of the cross. And lastly, the uniqueness of the birth of Christ indicates that he is worthy our worship. He is worthy our worship.
Yes.
While on earth, he asserted that he was the Son of God. A number of people recognized his deity and they worshiped him. The birth of the babe from Bethlehem cannot be separated from the worship of him as our Lord and Savior. The virgin birth is part of the history of the one who said in Revelation 1:18, "I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Last year, I read you a story about two missionaries, and I asked Brother Ed, I said, "Do you remember that story I read?" And he said, "I don't know, dear, I don't remember it." I said, "Dear, were you sleeping?" So that makes memories. So we're making memories. Yes, we are. So I want to read you this story. Some of you may remember it.
I wasn't sleeping.
Now, two missionaries, captured by bandits, were shut up in a filthy hold without a fire, were extremely cold. To make things worse, the guard ordered them not to talk nor to even make signs to each other. Christmas came. One of the missionaries shivering and shaking, sat silently on the floor. His face suddenly lit up, for he thought of a way to communicate with his comrade. Idly toying with the bits of hair around him, he spelled out a word on the hard-packed mud. With a glance, he drew his friend's attention to it. Immediately, his friend's face brightened with triumphant joy. The straws on the floor spelled out E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L. Emmanuel, God with us. So what if they were captives? What if they were in peril of death? What if their prison was dirty and cold? Inwardly, they rejoiced because God was with them. This is the meaning of Christmas, brothers and sisters. God is with us. God is with us everywhere. God is with us all the time. God bless you.
Brother Ed, I wasn't sleeping, but I don't remember that story.
Praise the Lord. I know there was a lot of angels in this room that didn't remember that. Because I asked two over here, and they never remember.
Don't feel bad.
Yeah. I mustn't have been sleeping.
Thank you, Pastor Mara. What a timely message. Hallelujah. We have so much to be thankful for.
Yes.
Yeah.